Welcome to the Health Psychology Division's podcast. Today we're speaking with Ms. Gabriela Carulis. Ms. Carulis is a research project manager in the Division of Health Systems and Public Health at Stellenbosch University and also a PhD fellow. Her work lies at the intersection of health systems, policy, digital health, and responsible AI, and she's here today to talk to us about community narratives in digital storytelling, enhancing diabetes self-management through AI. Ms. Carulis, welcome to the podcast. It's such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Eileen, and I'm glad to be in conversation with you and the colleagues online.
So just to focus on diabetes, in what ways does digital storytelling support people with diabetes in managing their condition more effectively?
So for us in the StoryRx study, we are creating a digital health communication intervention that is personalized. And so when I say personalized, is we are taking into account who the person is, their name, their surname. Yes, we are anonymizing it. But in addition, we're looking at your age. We're looking at what is the goal? What is the ultimate goal you want to achieve after being diagnosed? And how the support people is, it's giving them realistic planning. And when we say realistic planning, we're thinking of when this person, say, for instance, they state, I am living, for instance, in the metro Cape. This is the kind of household I'm living in. I have 5 or 6 family members. There are children in my household. I have hypertension. I am also living with a mental health condition, or I have depression. I struggle to eat in the morning. And the story that is told in this way is we then refine the story to the goal the patient has identified. What is their goal? Is their goal to eat better? Or is their goal to exercise? And how this is effective is that we are actually trying to say that for this person, and one case scenario we use, there's a person called Fatima, and she's saying, hi, I'm a Muslim woman. I fast at this particular time. This is what we eat. How do I adjust my proportions? How do I adjust it, my eating within my household? So then the stories have to be practical. So that's one way we're trying to address it. Is it actionable? Can a patient go out and action that which is said in the stories? Is it accurate? And for us, how we're doing that, we are actually validating all of our stories that are generated with AI tools, with medical experts in the loop. Then are the stories consistent? We are very specific as a team to make sure that from start to end, is it still Fatima's story? And we're checking this for psychological validation. We're looking at medical validation and also on the health communication and promotion side of it. Is the content itself consistent? And then is it contextually relevant? And as a team, we do make sure if we are framing it in the LMIC space or if we are framing it in a high income community within South Africa, have we provided the tool with the right training in order for our stories to be correct for that patient? So for instance, Fatima, who's from Bloemfontein, is her story actually reflecting that? Is she wearing the correct clothes? Is the food in the images for her? So that is ways in which we're supporting people that the stories reflect their stories. And these are small ways for people to actually gain an understanding that I can live with this condition, but where would I purchase my food? Does it look like the food that I can tell my child to get or gain from a shop in the local facility? And that's our ways of ensuring that individuals can manage it, but also that it's realistic to the South African context.
Thank you for that. So let's bring AI into the conversation. How is AI being used in your research to enhance or support the storytelling process?
Thank you for that question. Initially, we started with the idea of we will be creating an AI-driven technology using a RAG approach, meaning that we are taking a multitude of AI tools to generate stories. And so as I've mentioned, we are in a participatory or co-design approach. And through the process, we then realize that it is not only the rag, meaning we're bringing together multiple tools, that is designing the tool where the AI, where the digital stories will be created, but it is also to support the storytelling. And that means that when we type in, an individual has his personalized characteristics, we are also using it to generate prompts. So how do we personalize those prompts? And so these ways in which we are working with patients and prompt generation for those that are online or who might have an interest, you use AI tools to either enhance or support the storytelling and refine the stories. And so that is one way where we have incorporated examples. Finally, to say, when you are looking at the output, the incorporation between the web-based to what we would hope to be in the WhatsApp, and further, that is another way in which we have looked at AI venues. So therefore, our co-design, and this is the beauty of the project, I will add to say from Professor Lynn Hendricks and her team, is that it is with AI starting from the beginning. Like, we are incorporating the community from the beginning. We are also looking at how are we creating it with a tool from the start. So AI isn't just isolated as, oh, I'm just testing it as a once-off thing. We are refining it for our cultural context, and that is important for us. Like, how are we ensuring that the tool speaks to the African context?
That is so fascinating. And just to, because you kind of touched on it already, but I was just thinking about if you can share an example of how AI has actually been integrated into a storytelling project focused on diabetes self-management.
I am involved in a story, which is a research project, which is called StoryRx. And I'm going to give one example in which this is incorporated for diabetes management. It is a four-phase study. And in this process, we have four tools where it's brought together to actually train a larger model, and the refinement of that happens with technical outputs on what the stories will look like. And when I say we are looking at stories and how it's integrated, is where we are taking existing guidelines in the South African guidelines, we're training the tools so that there's no hallucination or incorrect information provided about a patient. The patient then would get these stories in four frames. And so we are working on something where it's just four-frame stories, and we call it micro stories. And an individual will then type in, this is what they hope and desire. And the co-design workshop that I mentioned earlier, patients were actually looking for things to motivate them more. Many of us as healthcare professionals are thinking, oh, we need to give them the strict thing. We need to tell them they need to do this, this, and this. And a lot of individuals know that they're not, how can I say, they're not adhering often, or these, as some of us use the words, non-compliant. And so there are those kind of things that patients are aware of it. And so in our workshop, patients actually said to us, they want more motivation. They want not just happy stories, but how do they live with this? And so we then use AI to refine these stories, to give a story of how do I, and I'm going to give one example, which we have Chabulani. He's a taxi driver. He's from the Western Cape. And how would he as a taxi driver live with this condition? How does he manage his diabetes? And in this four-frame stories, there is an image of Jabulani in his taxi, and what is he eating? How does he live his everyday life? And then we have a short, like, narrative at the bottom of those images, talking to that. And those are all AI generated. Then we also have a overlay with voice, which has been AI generated, for individuals that do not want the story to be read. You know, when you have the image separate to the words, and then we also have been in the video format. So the caption, and then, so to explain, that's what I'm saying. Well, some people would just be like, oh, give me just the story. So for us, we actually have this various format in which our stories are appearing. One is where you have a picture, and you have a paragraph below, and those for people that want that type of format. Then you have the format with this caption, and that is how AI helps us.
Wow, that really gives me a lot to think about, especially as you mentioned, the various formats their stories can appear and how they can help make healthy communication so much richer as well.
Mm-hmm.
So just to look ahead, what innovations in AI and storytelling do you see on the horizon that could further support chronic disease management?
I think firstly, we know that data shortage, and I mean in South Africa, data is quite expensive. I would hope that we could start to load data AI content that works offline. As much as we have the luxury of creating this tool, I do think it is incumbent of us as researchers also to think on low data costage for our population, in particular because I work in the public health sector. Then to think around voice assistance that is more South African languages, like we have 12, how do we incorporate more storytelling for those? I've recently attended a conference where they spoke about in Zambia, how many languages they have. And I mean, we only have 12. And I think there's an opportunity for voice assistance. For those that do not know, the distinction between AI tools or storytelling that is web-based, where it's FAQs, just frequently asked questions, but voice assistance, a two-way conversation, but in our native languages and in the native dialects. So the hope would be that. Then also a smarter personalized link that gives tips for instance, our patients might or people might have the requirement of what is the local budget markets for this food, weather, safe walking routes, are they safe walking routes? So a digital story can be about the routes around the community, where they can walk, how they can walk, because you might be a diabetic patient in an informal settlement. Are there areas that is safe for you to walk? And I would hope to see that as well. And then explain my advice. I think there are a lot of tools that speak to mental health coaches, life coaches. And I'm not negating and I'm not saying it takes the place of a mental health practitioner or a clinician, but we still do get patients and individuals and even healthcare professionals that need sound, simple information. And I think that's a lot of times where the health information gap or communication gap come in. Can we explain the advice in a way that is simplified for our patients to get it? And so that's where I hope AI tools can intervene. And then community-owned libraries. Why I say community-owned libraries, I think we come from a rich African context where stories is the bedrock of what our communities live on. And I do hope that through AI technologies, we can actually have the next generation know about these stories. Coming from South Africa myself, I do think there's a place for it. How we could tell the stories between traditional or indigenous knowledge systems as well as chronic disease management within clinical facilities. So there is a space for community-owned libraries and that it can be reusable. And so I see a space for those two forms of knowledge systems coming together and that it could support disease management on a community level. And I think that for me would be the hopes that younger generation could then learn from older generation, and may that be professionally between junior research interns to the older seasoned academics, and the same being with community members that are type 1 diabetic patients that can teach type 2 diabetic patients how life is. The similar thing is with hypertensive patients, could teach diabetic patients how it is to live with their condition or how it is to live in the reality. And that the stories can be reusable, and therefore I use the word community-owned libraries, and that AI can support that in a way that it can be open access to others.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And before we wrap up, how can listeners learn more about your work or get involved in future storytelling projects?
So I am part of the Division of Health Systems and Public Health at Stellenbosch University under the leadership of Professor Lynn Hendricks. You are more than welcome to connect with us using the email cope8@sun.ac.za. And we do collaborate with others that are involved in creative research, mental health intervention. And as myself being in health systems and public health, we do a lot of work that is transdisciplinary. So individuals are more than welcome to approach us. And Professor Lynn and the team will respond to that request.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. Ms. Gorilla, thank you so much. I want to thank you for taking us through your work, which is undoubtedly valuable for people living with diabetes and for health systems as a whole. Before we leave, are there any parting remarks you'd like to give to our listeners?
I think, considering we are on the Pfizer platform, I think for mental health researchers, I would like to say that do not fear AI tools. I think many people are concerned, interrogated with the same rigor you would any other tool. I think that would be my clarion call to any mental health researcher. Do not be afraid of it, but at the same time, apply the same rigor you would to other tool, and then incorporate it in your work. Because there's value in it, there's opportunities, and I'm not prefacing AI first or AI last, but as scientists and as researchers, there's a space for us to actually use this to our benefit, but also to ground our work. And so I would just say, don't be scared, jump in.
Well, it has been truly lovely having you on here, Ms. Gorillas. I wish you all the best going forward. And to everyone listening in, this was the Health Psychology Division podcast. Until next time, goodbye, everyone.